town. But they check outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Hey everyone, welcome to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. Well, there is some excitement for this week, very particularly, and the Drive Through HR family is looking forward to the Monday that is the next week. So we will be celebrating our fourth anniversary. So I'm so excited. Me and William is there with us, and Brian is not available today for some reason. And so, William, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It is beautiful weather, but we shouldn't talk about weather, Nisha, because we are living in a wonderful area right now that has great weather. But most of the people listening to the radio show are not living that weather. So we'll move off weather. But it's wonderful for your anniversary. I would tell you that, you know, after 1,000 shows in 4 years, mm-hmm. we're almost to the point of getting a show right. So we're not
correct.
We're not quite there, but we're almost there.
All right, so let's talk to our guest, Chris Wagley. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Glad to have you here with us today. I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. Did that?
Yeah, so it's Chris Wakely. Yes, actually, okay. my American name when I came over here is actually Christopher Thur Wakely, to give my full title, because that was the name. They joined my Christian and middle name together to give me my Christopher Thurlow Wakely. But then when I went to get my social security number, Christopher Thurlow wouldn't fit in all the boxes, so it got shortened to Christopher Thur. So that's actually but I've shortened it to Chris.
Well, great to know that. So, Chris, if you can do us a favor, please introduce yourself to our audience so they can know a little bit more about you.
Sure. So, Chris Wakely, I am 42 years old, married, two very young children, so we're in the thick of things there. I'm actually a native of London, England, and we moved over to Northern California, around 15 miles south of San Francisco, in August of last year. And I would say it's probably fair to say my wife still is reasonably homesick, very close to her mother, who now lives thousands of miles away. But we're loving the Northern Californian lifestyle. And I run what we call the enterprise team at Thompson's Online Benefits. And we, in effect, deal with our larger, more complex or global clients in the area of benefits and reward and the provision of software to those organizations.
Well, that's great to know, and we are so excited to have you here. Some UK and US collaboration is happening over here. So tell us what's keeping you up at night, or let's just say what's keeping your clients up at night.
Sure. So one of the things, the typical things that keep our clients up at night are, and we're always dealing with people who have to make global decisions around things like communicating benefits and reward. And they almost always work in large, complex organizations that, you know, might have offices in 60 different countries. So whilst I can't speak for them personally as to what keeps them up at night, if they were thinking about actually their work challenges, then I would say it's the challenge of being able to communicate and engage with all sorts of different people in all sorts of different countries from all sorts of different walks of life around actually the value that their employer provides them with. How can we reach all these different people when actually there's all sorts of cultures, legislations that we have to deal with? And you know, that again, it's a very typical type of conversation that I'm having both with our clients and our prospective clients.
Oh, no, it's in... I'm sorry, William. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Chris, it's you've touched on something. It's taking things for granted and not taking things for granted. So, how should employers, you know, communicate all the value of all the things that they provide from a benefits perspective, so that folks know that, you know, it's not just the changes, hey, there's this change to this change, but it's also all the things that they're getting and communicating so that people don't take that for granted. How do y'all suggest people tackle communications?
Yeah, so, I mean, and this is a, you know, this sits at the heart of everything that we do. And the one thing is it's you know, there's nothing, you don't want to what I call over-egg the pudding. That's a sort of a very English term. But what I mean by that is you don't need to be sort of hammering general messages out to people so that they're utterly bored with communication. But I think it is important to actually remind and communicate people of things, you know, certainly on a pretty regular basis. And then for me, I'm absolutely obsessive about, you know, making things interesting and making things pertinent. And also, dare I say it, making them amusing. You know, people like to be entertained. So I'm often, you know, you look at some of the clients we deal with and you look at the amazing way that they communicate with their client base, and then actually you look at the way in which they communicate with their employee base, and the two couldn't be more different. So, you know, it's about being able to communicate to people in a way that will resonate with them. You know, if this is your first job, you're 21, you're single, you know, if we're being honest with ourselves, what you really look forward to is Friday night and weekends. But how can your employer communicate things around what it is they do and their culture that will engage you? You know, versus you're like me, a 42-year-old man, you know, who's entering middle age gracefully, one might say, or disgracefully, depending on your view, with two kids, who's going to have a very different view. So, and as you would expect for us, the big change in the ability to do that has been around really the explosion, if you will, in terms of the use of mobile devices. So the fact that actually, really, almost no matter where you are in the world, most people now will be able to communicate in some way, shape, or form through a mobile device, be it a tablet or a smartphone. So you are able to get messages to people.
Well, it's funny, as you were talking, I was thinking about Virgin's, they released a new, the kind of the safety video before the pre-flight, you know, how to buckle in, and it was a really interesting and compelling, and singing and dancing, and it was just kind of a funny way of like, you know what, we're all tired of the same old safety demonstration, but you know what, we have to do it, you've got to go through it, but it doesn't have to be torture, you know, so
That's such a good point.
We can go through this in a different way. What are different mediums, like as you explore this and as you've already said about mobile, what are some of the, like some different ways to tackle things, either using social or mobile or using kind of humor or sarcasm, just different ways to kind of tackle some of this content?
Yeah. So one of the things around communication is, you know, if something changes, that's a great opportunity to communicate something to someone. So again, what we found is through the use of, you know, our software, in effect, for example, you've just got married. And so what that means is your marital status changes. You move from S to M. Now, actually, if as a consequence of getting married, you know, you're probably thinking about, you know, in my case, your wonderful wife and your happy future together, and you're looking forward to having children. But actually, if at that time you receive a message to your mobile device that, you know, might be email or, you know, it might be through a tweet or whatever it might be, to actually remind you that as a consequence of this fantastic change in your marital status, you know, there are a number of things that we as your employer can help you with. You know, make sure that your partner's on our medical plan and these are the fantastic benefits you can enjoy there. Why not think about travel insurance actually, you know, around your honeymoon, and we provide that to you as well. So suddenly I as an individual, in terms of things that are actually happening to me, am being spoken to about what's happening in my life. And the great thing about software and technology to do that is, you can automate, even though you can make it personal, you can automate how that works. So actually you can begin to really drive individual messages to people too. And then certainly from our perspective, a big key fundamental change in what we're seeing around HR applications now is that HR software, if you were using it, you know, if you're still using it today or a number of years ago, when you're using HR software, it still feels like you're using a business-related application. You know, it's a workplace tool. Whereas actually a lot of sort of software tools now that, you know, delivered in HR, and this is something we've focused very heavily on, is to make it feel like it's what we call a social tool. So it's like a piece of software that you would use in your social life, because this is all about engaging and communicating things, you know, both in and outside of the workplace. And that, I think, is, you know, a big paradigm shift in the way in which all HR software is going, in terms of if we are going to create self-service portals or we want to communicate with people, we have to make it feel like it's something you would use in your day-to-day life, and we have to make it relevant and personal to people. You know, the catch-all type of scenario, whilst, you know, it's the simplest way to communicate, it's also probably the least effective. I have a lovely example. So we have a client who use our benefits and rewards software in about 12 countries globally. So they have an they're a software company. They have an overarching sort of global benefit brand, you know, a bit like they have their own external brand. But actually, if you're then being onboarded in the UK, you'll receive a welcome message when you join the organization. It'll take you through an interactive PDF and then ask you to log in so you can enroll in benefits plans for that particular country, and then take you through what your reward will look like and things that you need to consider. And it will do that in quite a humorous way. So the language and the tone is quite humorous. Whereas actually, interestingly, if you're onboarding in Germany, for example, and again, I'm not casting any generalizations here. This is just the way that they chose to do it. The brand is the same, so the experience is the same, but actually the tone of the software is very straight. It has no humor within it, because that's the culture of that organization in that particular country. So they've achieved globally consistent branding and communications, but very much, you know, allowing them to make, you know, allowances for, you know, as we're all wonderfully different people, right? So, you know, and software does allow you to do that as well.
Well, it's great to know, Chris, and I totally agree with your point, making communication and making it personal. So in this scenario, you know, to a certain extent, we normally use automated communications, right? Be it social, mobile, or HR software at an organization, we normally use automated messages or automated communications. So if you can talk a little bit about the impact of that automated communication and how can we make it a little more personal than just sending a, you know, standard message, and how can we customize that?
Yeah. So this is, and we, you know, we spend a lot of time really working this through. So our view is, yes, general messages, as we say, that's the easiest way to communicate, especially if you're a large global organization, and especially if, you know, you've grown through acquisition. So actually you've got a number of different, you know, micro cultures and organizations in your overarching business as well. So actually the good thing about software and using it to communicate is now using the latest tools. So if you take our platform Darwin, one of the things, you know, you're able to do now is actually you can so the automated communication can come from an email address. So if, for example, you want to send all your messages out from the HR director for Europe, as an example, the message can come from that rather than from a, you know, a general automated email box, which, again, might mean instant recognition when you see it in your inbox. So that's one thing. The next thing then is around communications is you are able now to sort of brand them as you want. So if you have an overarching communications brand for benefits and reward, you can integrate that into the outbound message that you're putting in. The other thing that you can also do through automation, of course, as I mentioned before, like that marital status case, is actually you can set up software so that as a consequence of something happening, the automation kicks in, but it's still unique and personal to you. So, for example, if I've had a promotion or a change in salary, you can set up Darwin so it will automatically communicate to me, congratulating me on a, you know, that particular change, bringing through information that's personal or pertinent to me, either in the email or making reference to it, so I'm taken back to the portal, and maybe also making reference to the fact that it's not only my salary that's changed, but actually all my salary-related benefits have changed as well, because they've all gone up in value because my salary has gone up. So that's completely unique based on something that's happened to me. And, you know, obviously when you've got the system set up, it's able to manage and track and deliver all those messages automatically, even though it's not a one-size-fits-all type of communication. And that's actually been, you know, proven to be very successful at engaging people, because you're getting the message to people at the time at which something's happening to them.
Great. So how do you see this gamification is getting adopted in this communication platform?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Do you see the gamification is getting used more when you come to, you know, recognition or employee benefits, be it communicating something to their employees in a fun and humor way, as you said before?
So I think, I think there's a lot to be said for that. So, you know, and we have a wide range of different clients, you know, high tech where, you know, they have generally very, very strong, some might say slightly quirky cultures, to financial services, you know, banks, which tend to have, you know, very, very serious and straightforward types of cultures. But actually, I do think, you know, there's a real opportunity to actually, if you're communicating something, my whole view of this is that you need to almost entertain people. But this is all about, if you want to get a message to someone, they're far more likely to read it if actually it not only provides you with useful content, but at the same time, you're enjoying the process. So things like the gamification, you know, of communications, I do believe are really, really important. And, you know, keep things short. You know, more's the time where you're sending out messages that are, you know, 9 pages long, and 99% of people will get to the line 3 and then give up. You know, there's always people in every organization that will love and soak up every single word of the 9 pages. But, you know, they're a minority. So it's about how can we actually communicate things and entertain people at the same time? Because at the same time, not only will they read and digest the information, but that also helps affirm the culture of the business. And certainly one of the things we have seen in the last perhaps 4 to 5 years is a lot of our clients really, really beginning to focus on using culture to give them competitive advantage. So that, you know, they really see that as something that can help them drive the success of their business rather than just paying lip service to it.
Chris, what's your advice for clients in terms of communicating or engaging with spouses and partners? And, you know, it's the other, I mean, I've been married for 20 years, so it would be my wife, but every family's got a kind of a different dynamic there. How should we be addressing those folks and their training them, engaging them, and communicating with them, et cetera?
Yeah, so this is also something, again, through sort of the rise in sort of mobile technology, I suppose, where we've seen a big shift in focus. And we started to notice it, it's probably around 6 or 7 years ago, where if you're looking at the sort of login statistics of our platform, when people are logging in to understand a bit more about benefit and reward, we were seeing a real rise in that on, like, Sunday night. Now, maybe that was because, you know, Downton Abbey, the series had just finished, even though I appreciate it didn't exist then, or there was nothing else on television. But actually what it was telling us was, you know, this is a lot of the time it's the spouse or the partner who's at home that the benefits are all designed to benefit anyway, because they typically exist around the family. And so, again, because technology and software is readily available, especially if it's delivered as software as a service or a hosted application just via the web, actually it's much more accessible to people other, you know, to the family members other than the specific employee. And actually, I still remember a quote. We had a client, a construction client, who we delivered an online sort of benefits and reward portal to. We called it Blueprint. That was the brand. And I remember doing the launch at head office around Blueprint and all the benefits that it would deliver to people, and then coming back about a month later to review. And I met one of their project managers, and I said, how have you found Blueprint? Have you found it valuable in terms of being able to review at any time benefits and reward and make any changes? And he said, he had a very strong accent, and I won't try and replicate that, but he said, it's a good question, Chris. Actually, the only reason I found it really helpful is I no longer get any questions, and he called it from the wife. He said, because she's all over it. She logs into Blueprint and manages the plans for us on our behalf. And he said, and that's a fantastic value for me. And then, if you think that then further through around engagement and getting people bought into their employers, if that project manager then ever came perhaps to think about leaving their employer, suddenly you've got his wife saying, well, look, have you considered about all these other things that you potentially might be giving up? Because she's also a lot more bought in to the employer as well. And we're seeing more and more of that. And that's also when we're considering things like communication campaigns. Like you can put in, for example, you can put in your work address. This is something you want to be communicated to, in this instance via email. But you can also put in a personal address. And a lot of people in organizations tend to put their spouse partner's address in there, because typically that's the person who might manage, those sorts of things. We've just had a child, but I want to add that dependent to the medical plan. I can log straight in and do it. It's a big thing. And I'm living it here. So I moved my whole family over in August. And, there was initially, it's all about don't focus on me. I'm going to be over here and working and traveling and spending my life on aeroplanes as I am. It's this wonderful term, which must be changed at some point, the trailing spouse, i.e. in my case, my wife. She's the one we really need to engage with as to why we're doing this. What's the value for us as the sort of family unit? So communicating the messages to her, is of fundamental importance.
The term du jour in HR and HR technology is big data. Big data, analytics, et cetera. How is that kind of hitting y'all and what you do and kind of where you play in the end-to-end employee life cycle? What kind of big data discussions are you having with some of your clients and prospects?
Yeah, so I suppose the first thing goes back to using information to communicate more effectively and directly with people about things that affect them. So, and that all goes back to the, elements I've mentioned before around any change or, you're 42 and I'm married and you live in Germany, for example. Well, what is it that you're going to be interested in? And through the use of data, we can identify that you are 42, unmarried and live in Germany. And that can then define how we communicate with you. In the same way, certainly in the benefits world, hammering out messages to someone who's 22 around retirement plans or pensions, as they're called in Europe, that person's just simply, you're probably never going to get them interested. In fact, you're probably just going to annoy them if you continue to put those messages out. So getting better access to big data is valuable there. And then on the sort of backside of that, in terms of actually accessing and being able to report on information, certainly when, our global clients, one of their biggest things is when I sit down with a global benefits decision maker and I say, well, look, tell me, what does your private medical premium and enrollment look like in Sweden? And actually at that point, in almost all cases, they're not going to have a clue. So that information might sit with their local broker. It sits in probably four or five different spreadsheets with the local HR team. It'll probably take 3 weeks to gather the information. So actually, through the use of big data, the ability to actually hold all that information in one piece of software and report on it and access it and view it, in a graph or be able to see and make instant decisions on things is really, really valuable, especially to these global organizations. I mean, you know, these multi-billion dollar businesses, you know, they struggle to be able to report on, well, what's our total one number cost in a particular country if we add in payroll and benefits? And actually, a lot of the time, you know, they just don't know. So actually, you know, certainly in our case, the ability to gather that information in one piece of software and then report out on it is seen as a really, really valuable tool for those organizations.
All right. Well, we've 26 minutes, and we haven't asked you about ACA and/or Obamacare, and we got to. You know, what is the biggest kind of misconception, if you will, about the law either that started this January or that will kind of come into effect next year, et cetera? Like, what are the questions that you get asked the most frequently that are just off or wrong or whatever?
Yeah, so one of the first things we observed is, you know, getting benefit software right is difficult. The Affordable Care Act website is a great example of that. So we've got the scars to prove that, you know, we know it's difficult. Also, actually, for me, interestingly, coming over from the UK is, you know, we have the National Health Service, which, as an Englishman, one spends one's life knocking and slagging off. But actually, now having lived over here, it's an amazing institution, even though it might be perhaps poorly administered, as a lot of large government institutions sometimes can tend to be. It's a fantastic way in which we can provide, you know, healthcare to everyone. So now that I really understand the Affordable Care Act, what's been fascinating to me has been actually, you know, in general terms, it's, you know, the principle of it is fantastic. But actually, in terms of everyone I've spoken to, how certain people are getting squeezed because their premiums are going up and actually they're getting less coverage, and actually the people it's really designed to really help can't afford, you know, to do it anyway, you know, and then the actual delivery of it through the website. You think it's a great example of something that actually, you know, it looks fantastic in principle, but actually the actual implementation of it is so much more complicated than that. It's broad brush healthcare for all is a fantastic principle, but certainly, yeah, in the delivery of it, there's so many more complexities and nuances to the whole process that, you know, it's just such a, you know, I think it's a fantastic thing to tackle, but it almost is so much larger than I think potentially people thought around all the subtleties about, you know, what actually goes on in the implementation of the scheme. So, and when we're talking to people, you know, the great thing about it is it is bringing benefit and healthcare to the forefront of everyone's mind, certainly in the US. So it's for us as an organization, it's a great starting topic to sort of start on the debate. And everyone seems to have different views. You know, it's a real melting pot of opinion.
Well, give us 90 seconds less. Tell us where Thompson's, where folks can find them, and also where people can find you, and we'll roll out.
Sure. So Thompson's online benefits, well, we're a global benefits management and employee engagement software company. We're about 400 people. We're headquartered in London in the UK. We have offices in Romania, Singapore, and Northern California in the US. So I'm available on Twitter. You can get hold of me via email. You can log into our website, www.thompsons.com. And again, often it's, you know, this is an evolving marketplace. The ability to communicate benefits and reward better in global organizations is something that's sort of becoming more and more important, especially as businesses use culture for competitive advantage. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, we've set up our U.S. office to enable us to actually speak to global benefit decision makers in large multinational U.S. corporates. And we already have a wide range of U.S. clients as well.
Awesome. Well, my friend, wonderful Friday. Thank you for letting us chit-chat. Everyone, thank you for listening to Drive Through HR. Have a wonderful weekend. Again, it is Friday. Have a wonderful weekend.
And it is Friday. It is Friday.
It is. And we'll talk to everybody on Monday. Thanks, everyone.
Good. Thanks.